children all over the world are hearing the story or the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. And a part of that account is the wise men from the east that come to give gifts and present gifts to Jesus, to baby Jesus. And not only are they hearing about this account or this story, I like to say account, but a lot of them are doing that in plays and having plays concerning the birth of Jesus. And there was this one particular play that was taking place at this school, and there was these three young boys that were in the play, and they were to be the wise men to present the gifts to baby Jesus. And they were, of course, very nervous, as you can imagine. And so they're getting ready, and the play's going on, and they're waiting their turn. And the first boy has his opportunity, and he's stiff as a board. He's nervous as can be, and he steps up there, and just as stiff as can be, and says, "Gold." That's all he says. And so the next little boy, he's nervous, and he saw what the first boy did, so he thought, well, I'll just do it the same way. And so he does the same thing, and he goes up, and he just sticks out his hands, and he says, "Myrrh." And that's it, nothing else. And the third little boy is as nervous as he can be, and he thought, I'm just going to do it the same way as they did it. And so he steps up there, as stiff as a board, and it just says, "Frank sent this." I like that. I like that story because, after all, how many of us really know what frankincense and myrrh are? If you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, I hope that you do, maybe you'll get that. We'll talk just briefly about what these things are. Frankincense is a fragrant resin like a tree sap extracted from the Boswellian trees of southern Arabia, as you see there on the left side of the screen. It would have been in the form of small whitish chunks, which is there in the center, and would have been grounded up into powder and then burned by the priest as incense in the temple. So frankincense was extracted from trees, and it looks kind of like that, and it was used to burn in the temple. Myrrh is an aromatic orange-colored resin. Are y'all taking notes? There's going to be a test on this. Myrrh is I didn't know what these things were for the longest. I thought, I'm going to look these things up and find out. Myrrh is an aromatic orange-colored resin from the small thorny tree species of the Guinness family, as you see there on your left. It was very expensive and highly valued for its use in perfumes, including oil, medicine, and embalming. So there you have it. If you didn't already know that, then you know that much this morning. You know what frankincense and myrrh are. As we're thinking this morning for a brief period of time about these wise men, when we talk about the birth of Jesus, we don't talk about the wise men a whole lot, so I decided to take a different approach. As we're thinking about the wise men and the gifts that they brought, I want us to see what lessons maybe that we can learn from those gifts. And the first one is these gifts demonstrated to these show us that these men understood the nature of Jesus. They understood who Jesus was. They came from the east, from a foreign land, and they came here bearing gifts, and they understood something that the high priest down in Bethlehem did not understand, and that was that in Bethlehem there was going to be born a king that was worthy of worship. And so they came in, and you can just imagine, here are foreigners, and they came into the court of the king, of King Herod, and they said, "Where is he? Where is he that is to be born the king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And the magnificence of these gifts — these are not inexpensive gifts, by the way. They're very extravagant gifts, very expensive gifts, and the magnificence of these gifts indicate to us that they understood the value of Jesus. But another lesson that we can learn is that we can see the providential hand of God in these gifts. They brought these extravagant, expensive gifts, and at that time, as Michael did such a good job reading, at that time Herod found out that a baby king was going to be born, and so he wanted to make sure he sent his men to find that baby so that he could kill the baby and do away with it. And of course, he did not get what he wanted. They deceived him. And so he put out this decree, decree that 2 years old, any baby that's 2 years old and younger, is to be killed in Bethlehem. Well, an angel came to Joseph and told Joseph, or it actually says God came to Joseph and told Joseph to take him, take the baby Jesus, and to take Mary and to flee to Egypt. And so they did just that. They left and they went to Egypt. And the question that I was kind of wondering about is, how can a very poor carpenter, on the salary that he would have made at this time, even worse than what a carpenter makes today — some carpenters make very good today, but at this time they didn't — how in the world could a carpenter on his salary afford to go to a foreign land, especially Egypt, and possibly stay for a while? Well, they had just been given gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very expensive presents. And so they had portable wealth, if you will. And so it's very possible that this was God's providential hand in this to help provide. But maybe the third lesson that we can learn, that is probably the most important, is that we can see some symbolic significance in all of these presents. Gold was presented to kings and to princesses, to people in high authority. And so that kind of reminds us that Jesus is our king. Jesus was not only our king when he was born and when he lived here on this earth, but he is our king today. And so this can remind us of that. Frankincense was used in the temple to make the temple fragrant, and it was used by the high priest. And so this is symbolic and can remind us that Jesus Christ is indeed our high priest. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 7, talking about Jesus' priestly role, he says, "But he, because he continues forever," he just got through talking about how the high priest under the old law, of course, would die, and so they wouldn't be in that position anymore because of death. But Jesus lives forever, and he says, "Because he continues forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then also for the sins of the people. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself." So Jesus Christ, as our high priest, did not have to offer up sacrifices for his own sins, because as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4:15, he was without sin. But he offered up himself, of course, one time, once and for all, for the sins of all people. And so frankincense can be symbolic of that. It can remind us of that, since it was used by the high priest. But what about myrrh? Myrrh probably has the most significant pointed lesson of all of these. Myrrh, if you can remember, is presented there at his birth, but also years later as Jesus is hanging on the cross in agony. And he's crying out, and if you'll remember, a Roman soldier took a sponge and dipped it in wine mixed with myrrh, and offered it to our Lord to drink as a mild sedative or pain reliever. And if you remember, he did not take that because he had to suffer the whole pain of the cross. But he did not take that. And then Jesus, after he died, and they took his lifeless body down from the cross, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took his body, and they prepared it for burial, and they wrapped it in linens and with perfume and oils and also myrrh. And so we see here that myrrh is very significant, because we see it at the birth of Jesus, we see it at his death, but we also see it there at his burial. Now I want us to imagine this morning — this is part of the account, like I said, that we don't think about very often — I want you to imagine what it would have been like to be in these men's shoes. To be in these men's shoes, the excitement that they had, knowing that they were going to be there and to witness the birth of God's own Son. The excitement that they must have had, knowing that they were being led by a divine star to the very point where Jesus was to be born. Can you imagine that? The privilege and the honor and the opportunity that each one of them had to present individually their gift to the Son of God incarnate. The Messiah, the one that they had read about, the one that they had been anticipating and looking for, and they had the opportunity to present a present to Him. Can you imagine how privileged would we be if we could go to the most powerful person that we can think of, maybe the President of the United States, and be able to talk to them and present a present? Imagine how wonderful and significant it was for these men to have that opportunity. You know, during this time of year where we are giving so many gifts to people, and wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to give a gift to Jesus? Wouldn't it be wonderful as we are making our list of people to buy for, to be able to do as the wise men did, to be able to present a gift to Jesus? And the thing is, we can. We can today. And I want to suggest three gifts that we can give Jesus today. The first one is the most obvious. We can give of our means, and we're commanded to do so. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, it says that we are, on the first day of the week, to set aside how we have prospered. And we know that. We do that. That's why the plates are down here, and that is passed around, and that's a part of our worship. We give our contribution. We give our cash or check or whatever it is, and a lot of times we really don't think anything about it. But this morning, I want us to think about the significance of what we're doing when we are putting our contribution into that plate. Because when I give, and when you give, when that plate is passed, whether it be in that plate or any other time on the first day of the week, when we give, we're not giving to a budget. That's not what we're giving to. Now, we might have a budget, and that's a good thing to have, but I'm not giving to a budget when I give. And I'm not giving necessarily just to a congregation when I give. I'm giving to Jesus Christ. And that's what we're supposed to do, and that's what we're commanded to do. And we should never, ever downplay this part of our worship service, because it's as important as taking the Lord's Supper, as reading God's Word, as singing, as preaching, and everything else is just as important. Because when I give to Jesus Christ. And if I decide not to give, then I decide not to give to Jesus Christ. Think about that. Decide not to give to the Lord. The second gift that we can give is a gift of service. Any gift of service. Here in this passage in Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, Jesus is saying, if you give even as much as a cup of water in my name, it will receive its just reward. Just a small cup of water given in his name. He says, you did that to me. Turn your Bibles, if you will, and look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. This is the judgment scene depicted. And it says here, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to see you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Someone might say, well, you know what? I'm supposed to give of my means, but what if I can't give much? You know, we have a passage we can look at in Luke chapter 21, if we had time, of that poor widow who gave just a little bit, but she gave what she had. And so we still need to give what we have, but you might say, well, I don't have much to give. We can always give of ourselves. We can always serve and give our love, show our love and concern, and give our service. And that's something that we can do to everybody. E.R. Brannon was a preacher here in Alabama for a number of years, for about 50 years. And he might even still be preaching, I'm not sure. But he was a preacher in Alabama for about 50 years, and he tells a story that influenced his life. He says, and I quote, "In 1937, in the depths of the Great Depression, we lived in Birmingham, Alabama." He said, "We were members of the Old Woodlawn Church. Late one night, the police brought word that my father had been seriously injured in a car wreck and almost died. He was in the hospital for several weeks. One of the elders and the preacher, Howard Horton, came to the house and began to unload bags of groceries. When they left, I asked my tearful mother why they had brought the groceries, and she said, 'It's because we're members of the church.' As a 9-year-old boy, I began to realize what a great thing it was to be a member of the Lord's church." He says, 30 years later, my wife and I were returning from a cemetery where we had buried my sister-in-law, who had died after a car wreck. The day was cold and dreary, and it was afternoon when we pulled up into the driveway. He says, "The children were hungry, but no one felt like preparing a meal. While we were gone, some of the ladies from the church got a key to our house, brought in food, and prepared a delicious meal, and I again learned in a very tangible way what it means to be a member of the Lord's church." Jesus says, even a cup of water, if it's given in my name, receives its just reward. I don't believe we realize the impact when we serve in any kind of way, when we serve one another or anyone outside the congregation, outside the Lord's church, what an impact that makes on people. But it really does. Why does Jesus emphasize that so much in Scripture? All throughout Scriptures, you see Jesus putting emphasis on service. Why does he emphasize that so much? It's because when we serve one another and we serve others, we serve him. As the passage there in Matthew chapter 25 says, we serve him. Mother Teresa, who had done so much for so many years there in India, for those who were suffering, those who were sick, she said, "I can tell you the gospel in 5 words. You did it to me. You did it to me." Anytime we serve, brethren, anytime we give of our time and of our means and we serve, it's the same as doing it to Jesus Christ. There are coats that are being collected out in the foyer, and I think this is the last day for it, and I'm not sure it is, Bill says. But we've been doing that for a week or two. But because of that, there are going to be people that receive a coat that maybe cannot afford a coat of their own. And when they do, Jesus says, "You did that to me." We have many people here that are willing to go out and visit people that need visiting. Care and visitation program, there's a lot of people that take part in that and will go out, and some people don't see the need of it. But what good it does when someone that has been sick, someone has been down, receives a visit, they know that we care. And Jesus says, "You did that to me." Sometimes we get a phone call here of someone who is in need of groceries or maybe a little financial help and maybe help with their utility bill or something, and David Metcalf will go and talk to them, and a lot of times we're able to help out with that. And Jesus says, "You did that to me." The ladies' Bible class prepares baskets for those who are in the hospital, which I know is very significant and very much appreciated by those family members that are in the hospital with a loved one. And they are good to send cards out and do so many other things. And when they do that, Jesus says, "You did that to me." We have the Adams family and others that are willing to go to the jail, something that's not easy to do, and be able to sit down with people that are in a bad state and maybe have hit rock bottom. And they're studying God's Word, and Jesus says, "You did that to me." This time next week, the 25th, on Christmas Day, there will be 8 children that may not have been able to open up any present at all that will be able to come in and open up presents and receive things that they wanted and things that they needed and maybe not been able to get. And when they smile, don't you know that Jesus smiles too? Because we do that to Jesus. Anything that we do is for the Lord. The wise men gave 3 gifts. We can give 3 gifts. We can give of our means. We can give of our service, but maybe the very most important thing that we can give is our heart to Jesus Christ. Money is very important, and the church needs money. And God knew that, and He commands that we give, and that's important. Offering service and our time is very important, but those two things are things that are done from something within. You see, it doesn't matter if we gave all the money in the world or all the time in the world and did all kinds of things to help people out. If we don't do it with the heart of love and the heart of Jesus Christ, then we've done it for nothing. We need to make sure that Jesus has our heart. Does Jesus have your heart this morning? Have you given your heart to Him? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Talking about giving, here in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, Paul there says, we should give what we have decided in our heart. So even in our giving, our material giving, it starts with the heart. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, are the Macedonians commended because they first gave of themselves before they gave of their material means. It starts with the heart. Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? Christina Rosetta has written, what can I give Him as poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give Him? I give Him my heart. Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning and given your heart to the Lord? Have you let Him take your sin away? Have you received His mercy, His love, His grace, and His forgiveness? If not, we give you that opportunity this morning while we stand and sing.